Joseph Mayock, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyous wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Hag Pesach Sameach to you, because on the Hebrew calendar, it's next Tuesday from sundown till sundown on Wednesday. Then begins the 7 days of unleavened bread. So may you all be blessed as we continue our review of the spring appointments that God made with all mankind. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, you are our El Shaddai, our God Almighty, who sent us your Passover lamb, our reason for living, for without you, your salvation, we are nothing. Because of your resurrection, we can live forever in eternity, for we know that Satan is a defeated foe. We pray freedom for the Iranian people and a speedy removal of Hezbollah in Lebanon. We continue to plead the salvation blood of Yeshua over our unsaved loved one and healings for those recent health requests. May your shalom encapsulate all believers, and may tonight's study meet your approval. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
So everyone was worried yesterday when President Trump said they were talking to Iran to make a deal.
He did say that. He said that they had been in discussions, which at first Iran denied, but now apparently some negotiations are in the works, and in my mind, was coerced by Washington. A name being thrown around is Secretary of Parliament Mohammed Ghalibaf, who is a definite hardliner, not a moderate, but Trump inferred that who he was talking to was a defector, which caused a big tiff with the IRGC, with Ghalibaf denying quickly for fear of assassination. Now there is much chaos as the IRGC keeps suspecting moles in its operation,
fueling mistrust within the regime.
Yes, but here are my thoughts. As I immediately knew, it had to be a ploy by Trump to cause confusion in Iran's IRGC and to stabilize gas prices and help the stock market, which it surely did. However, everyone, including, of course, Trump, knows that people want a totally different regime.
And they don't already have freedom fighters ready to go.
Yes, they do. They surely do. They call themselves the Immortal Guards, who are taking instructions from the Crown Prince Pahlavi, and for sure the Mossad and CIA are helping them as well.
Have they achieved any weapons yet?
Oh, they have, and actually plan on taking city by city when given the go-ahead. And because the war has been very successful, the Iranian people will definitely not accept any Islamic regime. And Trump knows this, and he knows that they're going to fight hard to get Prince Pahlavi as their new leader.
Which is why these negotiations are just a ruse.
Exactly. And the same playbook Trump did just before attacking Iran, you know, to stall for time to get those ships in place. And he's doing the same thing now, to wait for the thousands of Marines to get in place to seize the Kharj Island, which is Iran's primary oil export terminal. As well, the Crown Prince Pahlavi, after seeing the 48-hour warning that Trump gave to Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz, pleaded with Trump on social media on Sunday not to hit the energy infrastructures, for it would hurt the civilian people who will have to rebuild.
Obviously, Trump listened
and came up with his plan so it would not look like he was backing down, rather to delay due to good negotiations that weren't really happening, at least initially.
So this is Trump's way of postponing his threat of 48 hours or else.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
Besides, we still haven't found the lost 60% uranium.
True. Also, by this Friday, the stock market closes and the Marines will be in place to seize or at least do a blockade over Kharj Island. Bottom line, Trump is stalling and has no intentions of making any deal with any Islamic faction. I just don't believe it, or that he would. Pahlavi has already been approved. Meanwhile, back and forth, intensive strikes continue, with Iran shooting many missiles into Israel, especially Tel Aviv, which many contain larger than the normal cluster bombs that can escape Israel's defense system and are. Many are getting injured, but, praise the Lord, few Israeli deaths.
And also in Lebanon?
Yes, Hezbollah and Israel continue to exchange rockets, causing much damage in Lebanon and in Israel's north.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or the Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll add you to our monthly mailing list. You can also donate on our page at shofarministries.net, where the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. So, a quick review of the last 2 weeks.
Yes. First of all, we looked at one of the most important verses to comprehend, and it's Leviticus 23, verse 2, that tells us that God has made specific appointments with his people. Think about how amazing that is. And these are not just Jewish-only appointments. They're read as feasts in Leviticus.
But the Hebrew word for is moed, which means appointments.
Right. Please look it up yourselves. We also explained how Jesus fulfilled four of the seven appointments, plus the Sabbath, by the way, because he is the Shabbat that lives in us. We read in Romans 11 that true Christians are now spiritual Jews. And under the new covenant of Yeshua, gives us freedom from the previous law. We do not need to adhere to any legalism, for it availeth nothing.
Rather, just be born again, as referenced by Paul in Galatians 6:15.
That's right. Hallelujah.
But there are those who want to observe some of the traditions.
Yes. Some believers do choose to, as an example, abstain from work on Saturday or wear the tzitzits or prayer shawls or yarmulkes.
And, of course, we have the freedom to do what we want.
Yes, but never as a mandatory thing. Because, honestly, the most pleasing thing to God is getting closer to him by spending more study time in his word rather than obey the law, thinking that will bring you closer to him, which does not supersede your time in study. In any way, better to enjoy the freedom he died to give you. The law was just a tutor for the Jews to recognize Yeshua when he came, and some did, many did not.
Mostly because they didn't study the prophet books.
Amen. And we also saw in Exodus 12 that 4 days before Passover, they would pick a lamb and examine it for any flaws or blemishes. And they did that from Nisan 10 until Nisan 14. And as prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, Jesus then, the Lamb of God, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on Nisan 10.
Which came to be known as Palm Sunday.
Yes, because they waved palm branches.
Then he was examined in the temple for 4 days.
Just like the animal lamb was examined for any flaws till Nisan 14, when they ate the Seder meal, or our tradition calls it the Last Supper, on Wednesday after sundown, so it was now Nisan 14. The next morning, after beating Jesus, they put him on a cross at 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Thursday that year, while it was still within the 24 hours of Passover, Nisan 14, until sundown.
So again, he was able to eat the Seder meal and also die still on Nisan 14 on Passover until sundown.
Right. And we left off last week with John 19:30, after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, one of his seven famous phrases was when he said, "Tetelestai," meaning, "It is finished."
Which also means paid in full.
Yes, very important words, because these exact same words were written on parchment and given to all convicts when they had finished serving their time.
In other words, their debts were paid in full.
Exactly, because God is the judge, and you are the criminal if you commit a crime called sin. And then there is a debt to pay, and you pay for those crimes unless you accept the pardon from Jesus, who paid with his blood, thereby canceling your debt for all your sins.
Past, present, and future.
Why do people turn that down?
You know, it's just fools, plain and simple.
So, then at sundown it became the 15th of Nisan, when the Feast of Unleavened Bread began, which is a holy extra Sabbath. So they hurried to lay him in the tomb,
but didn't have time to finish the burial incense.
Because, as we said, this was now an extra Sabbath till sundown on Friday. And therefore, the next day would be a Saturday, so also a Sabbath. Therefore, they would have to wait till Sunday, the 17th of Nisan, to finish the burial tradition, which was the Feast of First Fruits, and not an extra Sabbath day. According to Leviticus 23, the Feast of First Fruits is always the day after Saturday during the 7 days of unleavened bread. So, always a Sunday, making Pentecost always on a Sunday as well.
Okay, so now it's Sunday morning and the Feast of First Fruits.
Yes, and it was Mary Magdalene, a woman, to first discover the tomb had been opened. The huge and very heavy stone had been rolled away. She began weeping, and after seeing the two angels, she then turned and she thought she was talking to the gardener,
but soon realized it was Jesus.
Yeah, and after speaking to her, she ran to tell the others, who were men, as Jesus directed her to do.
So, what you are pointing out is that it was a woman who first saw Jesus, and also the first to spread the good news.
You, of course, know where I was going.
Oh, absolutely.
I point that out because there are still some denominations that say women shouldn't preach the gospel. When it was first Mary Magdalene that Jesus decided to tell before the others.
So, to break that bondage.
Right. That was part of the law that Jesus had now fulfilled. Think about that. Jesus commanded a woman to go and tell the other men.
So, a woman was the first to spread the gospel.
Praise the Lord, and I, of course, love that. We also covered the two calendars, so let's give just a quick review, because it is important to know that in Exodus 12, God told Moses to add another calendar in addition to their first calendar,
which we call the civil calendar,
because that begins with creation in the month of Tishrei. But now they were about to escape from Egypt after sundown, which then became Nisan 15, to begin a new spiritual life. So God said to make Nisan the first month on their extra calendar, which would make Tishrei the seventh month, with the other months following this order.
And keeping all the same names.
Yes. This is important for upon reading the scriptures after Exodus 12 and coming across a date that says, like, in the second and the third or the fourth month, etc. You count from Nisan after Exodus 12 on their religious biblical calendar. But before Exodus 12 in your reading, you only use the first or civil calendar.
Starting in Tishrei.
Yes. For the new calendar would act as a typology of our rebirth, which marks our freedom from the bondage of sin. You know, Joel 2:23 speaks of these first 2 months as having the two major rains that coincide with the six appointments of God.
With the three spring feasts in Nisan and the three fall feasts in Tishrei.
the former and the latter rains.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important, Hebraic Roots 101, and it's a great piece of knowledge that especially teachers should know, or you'll never know what season it is, thereby not understanding why they might be doing or saying certain things. Just a quick example of this is in Haggai, which says it's in the sixth month that God warned the people. Well, it's after Exodus 12, so you count from Nisan.
We know then it is the season of Teshuvah.
It is, when repentance was expected. Because the resurrection was anticipated to happen some year the following month in Tishrei on a Rosh Hashanah. So again, Passover is memorialized as the escape from Egypt's slavery. But for all of us personally, it's a type of escaping the world's slavery to sin.
A time of remembrance as to what Christ did for us.
The removal of all our leaven, our personal sins, by his sacrifice as the unblemished, sinless Lamb of God. Passover is the first of seven appointments, which Jesus fulfilled, along with the next three, unleavened bread, first fruits, and 50 days later on Pentecost. The other three are yet to be fulfilled in some fall season.
Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacle.
With Palm Sunday coming 4 days prior to Passover on Nisan 10, when an unblemished lamb would be picked. And this is interesting. Palm Sunday on Nisan 10 was the only day Jesus allowed them to call him king.
Why do you suppose?
Because it was a future type, which tells us a lot, because during the reign of the coming Antichrist, when Satan desires his kingship with worship, we know he's a mimicker of Christ. I believe the Antichrist will very likely declare himself king and God on a Palm Sunday as well.
Because Jesus did on Nisan 10.
Exactly. After all, Scripture does say that 3.5 years into the tribulation, the Antichrist sits in the temple as God.
Called the abomination in Daniel 9:27.
But here's my gold nugget, and just one of the dots we have connected. We believe the tribulation begins soon after the rapture on Tishri 10, which is Yom Kippur.
Because we know it will also end on a Yom Kippur.
Yes. Anyhow, 3.5 years, or 42 months from Yom Kippur, lands exactly on Nisan 10. Then, 3.5 years from that, Jesus fulfills by returning in the second coming, also on a Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
You know, and that fits like a glove.
Oh, it really does. Do you all see why I get so excited about showing you these gold nuggets? But I'll say it again, and often, that without some Hebraic roots knowledge, we would miss it.
As many have.
What is sad is that God really does want to show us these things.
Proverbs 25:2.
But many are unwilling to search.
Okay, let's dig a little more deeply into the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Okay. After they applied the animal's blood to the doorposts in Egypt, the death plague passed over the Hebrews. And when the Passover lamb was eaten, they left Egypt at sundown, or soon after. Therefore, now the 15th of Nisan. And then they camped at Sukkot.
To retrieve the bones of Joseph.
Yes. And that, of course, is referenced in Genesis 50, when Joseph asked them to make sure they did that. And we see it here at Exodus 14, too. Then, on the 16th of Nisan, they would camp at Etham.
Numbers 33:6.
That's right. The next morning, still the 16th, until sundown, They journeyed to Pi Hahiroth, reaching the reed of Red Sea at sundown, therefore now Nisan 17. The Hebrews crossed through the parted sea through most of the night. When the Egyptians entered also, and where God destroyed them all, as he let the waters fall back into the sea, and that was during the morning watch.
Which is between 2 and 6 a.m., Exodus 14.
And knowing how God often works, probably this was on a Sunday as well. Anyway, centuries later, also on Nisan 17, Jesus would put the nail in the coffin of Satan by rising from the dead. Also during the morning watch on the same anniversary date to fulfill the Feast of First Fruits.
For he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
So by now you can really see how Hebraic roots has been a huge learning tool. And always keep in mind that you are blessing God when you share this information.
And pray you all will.
Mm-hmm. So again, in summary, as a fulfillment of Passover, Jesus' side was pierced at 3 o'clock. His body was taken down just before the high holy day would begin. In fact, we see in John 19:31 that he told us it was a high Sabbath, which begins the 7 days of unleavened bread. At sundown, now Nisan 15, which was Thursday, where no yeast representing sin could be eaten or even exist anywhere in the house. Yeshua rose early Sunday morning that year on Nisan 17, now the Feast of First Fruits. It might not always fall on the 17th of Nisan, but must always be on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. Now this year is April 4th from sundown to April 5th at sundown on Sunday. Same as the Gentiles' Easter this year, but it doesn't always happen that way. Anyhow, the Jewish people simply call the entire 8 days the season of Passover because it's the first day of Passover, which is just one 24-hour period, and the 7 days following of unleavened bread. This 8 days includes all three spring feasts. By the way, certain dates are important and often prophetic, as in Nisan 17, besides the Egyptians being drowned in the Red Sea, it is also the anniversary of when the Jews' evil enemy Haman was finally hung in the book of Esther, sparing the death of all the Jews, thereby granting them life. And also on Nisan 17, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, representing new life, Genesis 8:4. Now remember, if you're looking this up yourself, and I hope you do, remember that this happened before Exodus 12, Noah's flood, so it is to be counted on their civil calendar. And next week we'll see more Hebraic roots and another gold nugget as to why Mary could not touch Jesus when she first saw him Sunday morning, as it was the Feast of First Fruits. Be sure to read this week Leviticus 23 again and also John chapter 20. So tune in and tell your friends, because it is and will be a good one. If you have not received his free gift of salvation, do it quickly. It gets harder the longer you wait. Don't be a fool. Be a remnant before it's too late. Time is running out quickly. The ironic blessing is the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.